Can't see it on that.
Just remember what I wrote.
Yeah, this is fine. I have people living on my top seat. Your level and everything, suppose if you want to hear a little of that. I've talked about this level, probably, hope if any, before 14 minutes. Maybe about 13 and a half. 14. 14 and a half. I might have a couple of pauses in it, I can figure it out. Just add it.
Well, you'll keep me.
Who's directing? Here, who's?
WP, no.
Yeah. That's where they always go. Never work. No, do they pay directors?
I hope so.
Free meals, but.
I'm not gonna do the work here.
Like, we're gonna drive it down. Here's all this.
Yeah. Jim, any problems?
Hold on, we're here.
You have what you need?
Oh, yeah, fine.
That was all right.
Wayne?
You're on that.
Yeah.
Guy probably come on a little stronger as I talk. I didn't hear.
Who'll be coming out of this guy?
This one, I'm sure. And what if it goes out, of course. there's somebody who's on the front street, and it's just too. That's reasonable, perhaps, maybe it was something, maybe it should, but these things put out a lot of money. Our votes in thousands, two votes in thousands, put in one of these things, in the 27-inch foot, so about 6 feet, will make a width of 250 foot. But then they didn't get that all out of the, yeah, we have two.
Yeah.
So that angle.
What would you get?
And if you spend it on play, then it looks right.
We're not gonna have to play, you can't do it on field.
Okay, now, you I have spoken out against busing scores of times over many years. we need now is not just speaking out against more busing. We need action to stop it. Above all, we need to stop it in the right way, in a way that will provide better education for every child in America in a desegregated school system. The reason action is so urgent is because of a number of recent decisions of the lower federal courts. Those courts have gone too far, in some cases beyond the requirements laid down by the Supreme Court, in ordering massive busing to achieve racial balance. The decisions have left in their wake confusion and contradiction in the law, anger, fear, and turmoil in local communities. And worst of all, agonized concern among hundreds of thousands of parents for the education and the safety of their children who have been forced by court order to be bused miles away from their neighborhood schools. What is the answer? There are many who believe that a constitutional amendment is the only way to deal with this problem. The constitutional amendment proposal deserves a thorough consideration by the Congress on its merits. But as an answer to the immediate problem we face of stopping more busing now, the constitutional amendment approach has a fatal flaw. It takes too long. A constitutional amendment would take between a year and 18 months at the very least to become effective. This means that hundreds of thousands of school children will be ordered by the courts to be bused away from their neighborhood schools in the next school year with no further aid. What we need is action now, not action 2, 3, or 4 years from now. And there's only one effective way to deal with the problem now. That is for the Congress to act. That is why I am sending a special message to the Congress tomorrow, urging immediate consideration and action on two issues. First, I shall propose legislation that would call an immediate halt to all new busing orders by federal courts, a moratorium on new busing. And next, I shall propose a companion measure, the Equal Educational Opportunities Act of 1972. This act would require that every state or locality grant equal educational opportunity to every person, regardless of race, color, or national origin. For the first time in our history, the cherished American ideal of equality of educational opportunity would be affirmed in the law of the land by the elected representatives of the people in Congress. The act would further establish an educational bill of rights for Mexican Americans, Puerto Ricans, Indians, and others who start their education under language handicaps to make certain that they too will have equal opportunity. The act I propose would concentrate federal school aid funds on the areas of greatest educational need. That would mean directing over $2.5 billion in the next year, mainly towards improving the education of children from poor families. This proposal deals directly with the problem that has been too often overlooked. We all know that within the central cities of our nation, there are schools so inferior that it is hypocritical even to suggest that the poor children who go there are getting a decent education, let alone an education comparable to that of children who go to schools in the suburbs. Even the most extreme proponents of busing admit that it would be years before programs could be set up and financed which would bus the majority of these children out of these central city areas to better schools in the suburbs. That means that putting primary emphasis on more busing rather than on better education inevitably will leave a lost generation of poor children in the central cities doomed to inferior education. It is time for us to make a national commitment to see that the schools in the central cities are upgraded so that the children who go there will have just as good a chance to get quality education as you. stop more busing. We move forward to guarantee that the children currently attending the poorest schools in our cities and in rural areas be provided with education equal to that of good schools in their communities. Taken together, the two elements of my proposal, the moratorium on new busing and the Equal Educational Opportunities Act, would focus our efforts where they really belong, on better education for all of our children, rather than on more busing for some of our children. In addition, I am directing all agencies and departments of the federal government at every level to carry out the spirit as well as the letter of the message in all of their actions. I am directing the Justice Department intervene in selected cases where the lower courts have gone beyond the Supreme Court's requirements in order to bust it. These are the highlights of the new approach I propose. Let me now go to the heart of the problem that confronts us. I want to tell you why I feel that busing for the purpose of achieving racial balance in our schools is wrong, and why the great majority of Americans are right in wanting to bring it to an end. The purpose of such busing is to help end segregation. But experience in case after case has shown that busing is a bad means to a good end. The frank recognition of that fact does not reduce our commitment to desegregation. It simply tells us that we have to come up with a better means to that good end. The great majority of Americans, white and black, feel strongly that the busing of school children away from their own neighborhoods for the purpose of achieving racial balance is wrong. But the great majority, black and white, also are determined that the process of desegregation must go forward and that the goal of genuinely equal educational opportunity is achieved. The question then is, how can we end segregation in a way that does not result in more busing? The proposals I am sending to the Congress provide an answer to that question. One emotional undercurrent that has done much to make this issue so difficult is the feeling that some people have that to oppose busing is to be anti-black. This is dangerous nonsense. There is no escaping the fact that some people do oppose busing because of racial prejudice. But to go on from this to conclude that anti-busing is simply a code word for prejudice is a vicious libel on millions of concerned parents who oppose busing, not because they are against desegregation, but because they are for better education for their children. They want their children educated in their own neighborhoods. Many have invested their life savings in a home, in a neighborhood they chose because it had good schools. They do not want their children bused across the city to an inferior school just to meet some social planner's concept of what is considered to be the correct racial balance, or what is called progressive social policy. There are right reasons for opposing busing, and there are wrong reasons. And most people, including large and increasing number of blacks, oppose it for reasons that have little or nothing to do with race. It would compound an injustice to persist in massive busing simply because some people oppose it for the wrong reasons. There's another element to consider, and this is the most important one of all. That is the human element, which I see reflected in thousands of letters I have received in my mail from worried parents all over the country, north, east, west, and south. Let me give you some examples. I believe it is wrong when an 8-year-old child who was once able to walk to a neighborhood school is now forced to travel 2 hours a day on a bus. I believe it is wrong when a working mother is suddenly faced with 3 different bus schedules for her children and that makes it impossible for her to continue to work. I believe it is wrong, and parents are burdened with new worries about their children's safety on the road and the neighborhoods far from home. I believe it is wrong when a child in a poor neighborhood is denied the extra personal attention and financial support in his school that we know can make all the difference. All these individual human wrongs add up to a deeply felt and growing frustration. These are wrongs that can be and must be set right. And that is the purpose of the legislation I am sending to Congress tomorrow. I submit these proposals to the Congress, and I commend them to all of you listening tonight, mindful of the profound importance and the special complexity of the issues they address. The key is action, and action now. And Congress holds that key. If you agree with the goals I have described tonight, to stop more busing now and provide equality of education for all of our children, I urge you to let your congressmen and senators know your views so that Congress will act promptly to deal with this problem. Let me close with a personal note. This is a deeply emotional and divisive issue. I have done my very best to undertake to weigh and respect the conflicting interests, to strike a balance which is thoughtful and just, to search for answers that will best serve all of our nation's children. I realize the program I have recommended will not satisfy the extremists on the one side who oppose busing for the wrong reasons. And I realize that my program will not satisfy the extreme social planners on the other side who insist on more busing even at the cost of better education. But while what I have said tonight will not appeal to either extreme, I believe I have expressed the views of the majority of Americans. Because I believe that the majority of Americans of all races want more busing stopped and better education started. Let us recognize that the issue of busing divides many Americans. But let us also recognize that the commitment to equal opportunity in education unites all Americans. The proposals I am submitting to Congress will allow us to turn away from what divides us and to turn toward what unites us. The way we handle this difficult issue is a supreme test of the character, the responsibility, and the decency of the American people. Let us handle it in a way we can be proud of, by uniting behind the program which will make it possible for all the children in this great and good country of ours to receive a better education and to enjoy a better life. Thank you. Good night. I don't say I have that picture, you the one you used last time. Walk around. Yeah.
No, you didn't pinch him, you stuck him.
$40 down their butts.
For the drink?
No, he...
He would give the drink.
When he traveled with Rockefeller, one of the girls from his party told me he does that. I mean, he
just $40.
No, he offered them $300. He put $300 in their shoes.
For what purpose? That's not really much fun putting in their butts.
They sleepers in. I was told that 3 years ago.
On the airplane?
No, I guess that they put the shoes in front of their doors there to get them signed, and he'd put little notes in. He has been really very loyal.
Loyal?
And has got
a job over there.
Good job. I didn't think much of him when he got the job because of those stories, but he's done a good job.
He's been totally loyal, but goddamn. I had to put a keeper with him, though. I wouldn't let him do this again.
Well, I thought I knew he had gone to a psychiatrist.
He had made the Secret Service agent. After Army?
No, after the Rockefeller trip, he went to a psychiatrist.
Well, that's his trouble. He should never go to a psychiatrist. Makes him worse.
I thought he was cured.
Cured of what? Drinking or
whatever his problem was.
Well, apparently he had a drinking problem some years ago, and then he quit drinking. And the story is he only drinks a little Duvenet now and doesn't drink otherwise. But apparently...
I've stayed in his house, and I've never seen him get boisterous.
When we were there in our trip, he had himself beautifully.
That's right, and I stayed there twice.
Yeah.
Just coming through Paris, he's always behaved well. I mean, you know, even privately, he didn't drink and get boisterous.
Any significance on teaching Scotland and Cambodia?
I think they have recovered themselves.
What did I expect? That's right.
All the evidence we have is...
Anything further on Vietnam? Anything about the offensive?
They are in position from which they can jump off, but...
Well, listen, will you consider whether or not we ought to have Laird and I would take Laird, Peterson, and Butts.
We're sending Butts in April.
I know. I wouldn't take them all with us. I'd have them fly over.
Absolutely
beautiful place, like a hotel. even tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, and anything we can do to make it better, what do you do? I'll work on the message for you next week. You know, the more I see of it, though, I think, Henry, that I've got to get to work at some point on the, Dan Moscow,
Oh, yeah.
Thing.
You got a reading file for the president?
We'll have it booked for you by the middle of April.
Yeah, but why, I mean, I'm gonna do it by the middle of...
I don't have any reading files at this point, I do. And you think especially if you drop out a map or a ring in here.
I think it's probably be better if you don't mind, because that way people won't see it.
All right, good. I'll be over in 10 or 15 minutes.
Right.
Have a drink first, okay?
Good.
Whatever.
And it shouldn't take more than 5 minutes, yeah.
I'm glad he's going, he needs the rest.
I told you that he was back on that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's wearing off now, you know, he said.
Well, that just, if he didn't go now, he wouldn't go, and that's the best reason of all.
He knows where he's gonna put other things. Well, I wanted to say to you, John, and this is telling Bob, that, I want you to be more aggressive in these damn reading things, to step into it and do it now. I mean, I love George Shultz, and I love Richardson, and Kleist, of course, his mind is on other things. But when you're talking to a bunch of congressmen, I mean, you've got to lay it in and not sort of drone on in a down-down monotone. And in fact, as you remember, you saw the reason I sent you those two notes. I know these guys. I know exactly what they're up to. And I don't think it impresses them a bit to be responsible. Do you agree or not?
I got your message.
Well, I don't know whether our message is taken right now, because here's the problem. Our problem is that we know we're not going to get the left with this. The main thing is not to lose the right.
Yep.
That's the problem. And so, for Christ's sake, say the right things.
Right.
I mean, our people start there. The farm's on. I'm going to get this child voluntarily besides. This and that, thank God, and you leave them all fast. See my point?
Sure.
That's fine, the message. But how's your reading go over here?
Fine, over here. There were no major toe holds that they got. And that's where
it. How long did it go?
2 hours.
Oh, jeez, hard work. How many came?
Room full.
By God. Well, you
really got a book.
And you enjoy, you deserve some time off.
Not till next week. I'm going, I'll be away a week. Week after next.
Are you going?
Well, I'll do some television out in California.
You go to San Francisco, I'll be there. Well, how do you think it's famous now? How are you going?
This looks pretty good.
I read you the first part of it, but then it says Mansfield is co-author of a mild busing retreat for medicine adopted for a higher education. But he indicated he was willing to sacrifice it to get action on Nixon's far tougher proposals. Mansfield said the busing issue is the most difficult and most perplexing issue to come before the Senate in his 20 years as a member, and that Congress has no choice but to act on it. It appears to me that there is a great deal more that the courts can do, and perhaps in some instances they have gone entirely too far, he said. He's told Nancy of Bobby Griffin, backed the president's approach and predicted unless pro-busing senators initiated a filibuster, we ought to have a bill on his desk within a few weeks. Griffin, who proposed any busing was similar to Nixon's approach last month and narrowly lost Senate votes, that he also was encouraged that under Nixon's approach, the Justice Department would intervene in the appropriate case to argue against busing.
The constitutional amendment may be deleted out of this press review.
But we're against it?
Yeah.
No.
You told the leaders that if for any reason your legislation is unconstitutional, then you go for constitutional.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, deeply. You got one problem. McCulloch is with you for some reason.
He doesn't understand.
Well, like that. He says the president may have gone a long way towards solving this most difficult problem.
Yeah, the interesting line in the leaders was that, well, even Javits said that last night you did, you know, what did he say? Power panels.
Javits, they're going oil. Javits, ranking Republican, pledged immediately to do my utmost to see that is done. That is to get the plan into the conference bill.
Here's what they understand. They understand that people got to defuse the damn issue.
Well, and you just tossed them the hottest basketball they've ever stand up on like this. They don't think so.
The useful, of course, was the only one clever enough to stand up. We used to set it down.
What are you going to do about this stuff? It's all
right. Yeah.
And what are you going to do about this? Of course, he's off a fox. But we have a responsibility.
I think, in terms of constitutionality, I think he threw the ball right back and said, go get a constitutional amendment.
That's right. Well, that's true.
Yeah.
And I think it did. I think it was good. You see, the reason, John, I was talking so hard like these guys is that I knew, particularly I said at the last, now look here, something's got to be done to stop this busing. I said that the court can't do it. In fact, the courts are going to go too far. A constitutional amendment won't do it. The president can't do it. You know what I believe? I've gone as far as I can. And I said, it's only up to the Congress. So the question is, are you going to do it? Now that puts it in language that they damn well understand. And they see they pick up these refrains. And that's the thing that people have got to do in leaders' meetings is write the script for them, write the story for them. You know what I mean? I knew the intricacies of the goddamn legislation, but I'm not going to go into the question of,
Two versus 406, all that stuff. Well, it's often sailing at this point, and I talked with Davis and Quill a little while afterward, and they're going to try and get this moratorium in the conference. Not because they want the moratorium as much as because they're hung up higher.
They can't get rid of the conference otherwise because they've got to get house instructed conferees on a tough busing. If you notice, I played dumb as hell. I knew exactly what they were stuck on.
Well, I kicked that along a little bit in the press conference.
Good.
And I said that I've been very open in the conference.
Did you notice that I also, I was hoping you saw what I was doing in my rather naive questions about what would a constitutional amendment would happen in the House of the Senate.
Yeah.
But I got Bobby Griffin to say, well, we just don't have the votes for it. But I think that is the point for me that we now lay that foundation. Because Wallace and his crowd will come yelling out for constitutional amendment. They'll say that's a demagogue. They've got to be attacked. That's fine. But I don't, incidentally, I know that some of our lawyers don't like the idea of my saying I'm for constitutional amendment legislation as it passed. But that's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm for it. And if the courts decide this is unconstitutional, or if the Congress fails to act, then John, and I have a responsibility to say, all right, I'm for a constitutional.
You're not on record. We put you on record on
this. Right. Well, I put myself on
whatever said on that.
But we don't do it now. I said the preferred approach is a legislative approach. And we're being very responsible.
The press began to bullyrag George at one point. He finally looked up and said, well, we don't have to desegregate everything, But that's why it'll be a quarter of the week.
Well, let me tell you, this office job, big one health job, it is a splendid job. And Ray Price's message is a damn classic business. It's a beautiful message, and it really is. They have really done a job, and we've taken the hottest potato here and everything, and incidentally, just getting the moratorium. I don't know if we'll get the legislation on this year. Getting the moratorium
is an
enormous thing. We will stop the new busing orders. At least it means we won't make the cancer any worse. Isn't that right?
Well,
and also the interventions of health care.
Tax your mark way up on the wall.
Yeah, so that everybody can see it.
You know,
an interesting thing. I'm not sure how many people really care about this issue in the country, however. I agree that people know about it.
Well, everything indicates that they don't care, except where there is a busing problem, and there they care like hell.
If you ask anybody, he always is against busing.
Right. But if you
say what you're concerned about, nobody says busing except where they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I think that what we had to do was to do this on television for other reasons, but where they do care about it. They have the army say it, or otherwise it would be too confusing. I know, for example, I have at least 30 women or 25 women in the advisory. All they were talking about was China.
Wonderful thing, isn't it?
Wonderful thing.
They mentioned busing.
I met with the White House fellows this morning. All they wanted to know about was China.
Sure.
One guy asked one question on busing, and then I started to do an answer, and they obviously didn't want to hear it.
I just met with the EA political division. All they wanted to talk about was busing.
Yeah.
So,
referred to busing people to you, and she asked, it was a girl volume, and I didn't know what the hell she was talking about.
Are we going through it?
What was I talking to you?
In a good position, we suck it to her as well as we can.
Well, the next problem to go with is social security and welfare reform, and that's it.
What is that? How do we go with that?
We're just been here, we just haven't done anything. I gotta get the crowd in, tomorrow.
Did you by any chance, were you able to touch, just touch Conley up a little?
No. I called him. He didn't show up again.
So you told him that I did it right?
No, I never got it. He wouldn't make the call. He finally called me back after the speech. So he knew I had tried, but I never did get to him. But I have an appointment with him today, and so I'll go over this stuff for him once I would have told him if I got it.
Well, I just wanted to be sure, you know, he said that there, since he was...
Yeah.
Right, probably, and so that, he certainly is able to know that we've taken the line, our...
Oh, sure, stand up. I'll give him a run now.
Yeah, just say the purpose of the call was to...
Some of that, Chris, and I, we did not win the heart of mine with vice versa, I would say. We retained our report yesterday.
What the hell, he's out of it, which is he?
He is for a much harder line.
Well, goddamn it, he came out against the constitutional amendment.
Oh, he doesn't want any of his money to go to those kids.
He's with you on the busing, he's against the...
He's more of our
city school.
He's more of our starting, he's for cutting down the busing, but he said we should have let all that other crap out.
But then you would have had a revolution.
Potentially, you'd have the facts.
Well, wouldn't you have had the black jury up the wall? Or would you?
No.
I mean, they weren't going to be for us.
No, but this...
But you would have no compassion in the goddamn speech at all.
We had 10 of them in there last night, all black. And we had to explain this thing to them.
Oh, they did.
Fine.
So the three of them said she could buy it. I saw her after she...
Two or three of them said I can sell this.
Are any of them quit?
No.
Well, that is a reasonable...
Sure it is, but you...
He is just...
I wasn't there. Now, that's Buchanan, Morgan, and Schultz.
Yeah, all right, fine. Well, that's too bad.
Didn't cut it.
Well, you had to deal with him.
Well, his whole attitude is one of just whining, complaining about everything. And that's the thing, you know, he knows we've got to make a deal there. So his contributions, John, never...
Because he was in good spirits when I talked to him yesterday morning.
Yeah.
You know, because he had done so well in college.
Yeah.
Sure.
I know. He was, and I told him about your concern about his vote being ignored.
Well, he's got a thing about just the domestic side of things here.
Yeah.
And he just...
What the hell is he domestically then?
I don't know. He's where we ain't. Where
I
we come down.
You know, let me say this. I don't think compensatory education probably will work very well. I like Moynihan.
No.
But Moynihan agreed we had to do it.
Yeah.
My view is you got to help.
Pat, incidentally, said he'd be around here Monday. If there's anything he can say or do, he'll do it right. He thinks this is a great political move.
Yeah.
Rockefeller, talked to, he's all for it. Smart political
move. You talked to him last night.
Yeah.
How about Reagan?
Well, I don't see who talked to Reagan. Weinberg did. I don't know what the report was on that.
Well, Reagan's not a good partisan.
Holton's in Israel.
Jesus. Working out the Virginia-Israeli relations.
For Christ's sake, what's he doing?
Israel. You know, I'm glad that I took John. Glad he did put in some more feeling into it. I think the first side of our draft was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And the beginning draft was a disaster.
Yeah.
But I think the final side of our draft was just too thin.
Tinny.
The rest. And I had a feeling pretty finally came up with what was some of my credit.
Well, I've heard a lot of good things fact, Bailey.
Well, I checked that paper, yeah.
Chuck Bailey. Came up afterwards, said he thought it was damn good speech. And didn't happen.
Well, Chuck is just basically critical. I mean, bitches 90% of the time. And when he says it's good, it's because he thought it was.
Well, it was. It was actually a damn well-written speech. Very well, in terms of the issue.
Well-written and well-delivered. It was.
Chris, you were very relaxed. So.
Well, was the speech a required portrayal of inner conviction? You know, it wasn't, you weren't.
But I think it is. I think it certainly portrayed of what I was really thinking of all the time was, well, for Christ's sake, when I said there in that speech, don't sound like Wallace on one side, but for Christ's sake, don't sound like Muskie and Jackson and Lindsay and Humphrey and Grant. And I think it certainly got away, but they saw a damn different picture. That's what you think they'll do with these damn candidates.
That's right. Well, that's why it was very good. I thought about it until you came on, but just putting you on the argument for putting you on television on the issue was good, but an argument that I hadn't thought about. It's just you've been watching on television all these guys in those goddamn grubby election headquarters crying and saying I really won and all this sort of crap, and then to see the seal, the camera come in on the Oval Office, the president sitting here telling people what he really believes, exercising some leadership, talking about the problem, making the point, the best point in the whole thing, the one that's really going to matter in the long haul, is that you don't have to be anti-black to be an analyst.
Well, that was my well, the way that was
elected is all that was
section moderator. And I put in one adjective there, which I think is good, is to say that it's a vicious libel on people to say if you're anti-Muslim, you're anti-black, because parents are concerned. And that little section about parents want to send their kids to their own schools in the neighborhood. Many buy schools, buy their homes in certain neighborhoods because they have good schools. Put their life savings in that. Goddamn, you get a lot of people to that for doing so.
Well, you did it from there. You did it beautifully on the social planners.
That was good, Deanna's line.
I figured it was.
Yeah.
That's good.
So all we say about it is draft. We provide it.
But
we go to step down on a lot. You can't imagine it. We have two adjectives left over.
That's sure.
No, he says, he says that American children should not be used as guinea pigs. Oh, my, if I'd ever been a guinea pig, he'd speak.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's pretty good.
I'm gonna work with these guys every day, and so I have to kind of measure how far I can take over.
How do you think you're ready to do it?
I think I probably should just turn to...
Thank you.